Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
There was lots of excitement this week at the news that Girls Aloud are reuniting, but it is slightly depressing that all these 90s and noughties bands are now heritage acts, like, way to make me feel old. So pop culture journalist Jen Gannon joins me now. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
So Girls Aloud, a 2024 arena tour. They're coming to Ireland in May. Have you got tickets?
I'm waiting to get my tickets, signed up, obviously, on the Girls Aloud website to get my pre-sale on Wednesday, hopefully. Fingers crossed. If not, I'll be duking it out with the masses next Friday when they go on general release.
So is there going to be a massive...
It really is.
Interest, like, in this, yeah?
Huge. Like, my... Well, maybe it's because of the circles I'm in, but it's been wall-to-wall Girls Aloud.
Really,
like,
yeah.
And people are just so excited and happy to see them back. I think genuine love and affection there from them. I think
and
a lot of people,
story and everything,
they just feel like they never got their dues, or they were never paid their dues at the time, or we didn't appreciate them enough when we had them. That's another thing. And I think, like, with something like Girls Aloud, they are who they are, and they've made such an impression on the generation, or my generation anyway, as these individual women that were just the most fun, and with an amazing back catalogue of songs that you can't, like, flawless pop music, I think. And I think people right now are kind of starved for, they want to hear those songs again. They want to have the best Saturday night of their lives again. And I think that's the appeal of this kind of bringing back the early noughties music again to, you know.
What was brilliant about the music?
I mean, the thing about it is, for a long time, I think there was, at the start of the noughties, there was a bit of a lull in pop music, and then it kicked back off with someone like the producer Richard X, who did Freak Like Me with the Sugar Babes. And that just changed the rules, like with the Idina Howard sample, and it just sounded so fresh and different. And then you had Xenomania, who Girls Aloud worked with for the longest time. They had 60 songs written for an imaginary girl band, and they were employed to work with Girls Aloud from the start.
Right? They were kind of a Swedish hit factory.
They're British, They're two.
Oh, were they? Yeah. Okay.
So it's Brian Higgins and Miranda Cooper, and Brian Higgins was the man responsible for Cher's Believe. So this man knows how to write a pop song.
Yeah.
So they had
so
all
he invented autotune, really.
Basically,
practically.
It's his fault. So they had all these songs written, and then they were ready to go when Girls Aloud won Pop Stars the Rivals, because that's where they came from. Nobody remembers the band that they, you know, lost to Girls Aloud, One True Voice, God help them. They were like a footnote in pop history.
Yeah.
So right from the get-go, Xenomania were like, we're changing the rules, we're making things different, we're mixing things up. And every single song has, like, all it's about is hooks, hooks, hooks. Brian had said in an interview, pop music is maths. And you have to give the people a hook before the vocals even come in. We want people to go, what is this? Turn the radio up. They said they wanted to make intelligent pop music, but also stuff that the postman would go around whistling. And they did that with every single Girls Aloud song. Something like Biology is, I can't even describe. There's about four hooks in that song. It's just made of hooks. There's nothing else to it. So every bit of it is so catchy. And they did that so successfully.
We have Sound of the Underground here.
That was their first single.
Here we go.
Some more.
I can see what you're saying. Every single thing in that song, every sound, everything is like catchy. It's a hook, yeah. Isn't it? It's like they put it all,
it's
everything
like
in a blender.
Throwing the kitchen sink at it, and everything from, like, you can hear that surf guitar. You know, who'd have thought that would work on a pop song, like right up into those kind of beats in the background as well. So, like, Xenomania, they said they're the opposite of, you know, xenophobia. What they're saying is it's a love of all cultures. And the manifesto was to incorporate every single thing that was great about pop music and knit it all together, throw it in a blender and see what happens. And so that's what those songs were like.
Tell us about the individuals then in Girls Aloud. So Sarah Harding won't be there now, unfortunately.
No, I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons why they really wanted to come back with this tour, and just to celebrate Sarah, because she was, you know, one of the driving forces of the band. She passed away, died of breast cancer in 2021. And I think they were planning on doing a tour in 2022. That had always been like the idea, because to come back again, and it obviously it didn't transpire. But she loved being a pop star. She was so
she was the number one,
like, in your face, really want, like, just exactly what you want a pop star to be. She was loud. She had one of the best vocals in the band. Her and Nadine were the two powerhouse vocalists in the band.
Nadine Coyle.
Yeah. And she just had this exuberance and that kind of vivaciousness that you need for a pop band. Like, I always talk about some, you know, famous people that I think they need to get fame taken away from them because they're very boring. And she was the antithesis of that. She just wanted to so much be in this band and loved Girls Aloud. And I think this is a lovely tribute to her and everything that those girls did together and succeeded together.
And Cheryl, you at one point probably would have been too busy and too successful to get back into Girls Aloud. She had a period of becoming kind of supernova in her own right for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I always used to call her the Angel of the North, like when she was on X Factor. She was a Georgian X Factor. She was perfected that one tear that would roll down her face when she was auditioning somebody. Now, you know, things are different for her, and I think they are stronger together. It's like having, you know, one Power Ranger off on their own. It doesn't make sense. You put the band back together, and it incites something in people that is very exciting, and, you know, that harkens back to those days. Like, that's the thing. It's nostalgia as well. You're thinking about the best nights out you ever had with your friends, when all you cared about was buying a skirt in Topshop at the end of the week, like those kind of things. That's what it harkens back to, and people want that. They want that release. They want that escapism, and they symbolise that for people.
And there are more 90s and noughties bands reforming and coming back now?
Now, not as successful. I think what happened was everybody thought they'd have the career to take that. Because Take That really, you know, they came back in 2006 with Patience, and it just changed everything for them. Like, they went from an S&M boy band wearing cod pieces to this M&S man band. And, like, the thing is, Gary Barlow was born middle-aged. Like, he's like Benjamin Button. So he was waiting in the wings for his fan base to mature. And then when they came back, it was like a meeting of a melding of, you know, two things. Like, they were ready for it. They were like, we can listen to our favourite band, Take That, and also drink wine. So it ignited this whole new feeling. And every other boy band and girl band from that time think that they can capitalise on that. But not all of them have a songwriter like Gary Barlow, and that's the problem. So you've seen poor bands like S Club 7 coming back, and they are just steeped in tragedy. Like, they've had a really rough time. Like, you have somebody like Hannah from the band, she was homeless for a while, and then before they started their tour, they were going to have an anniversary tour. Paul Cattermole, one of the members, passed away. And then that kind of grinded the tour to a halt. They had come back before with just a couple of members, but this was the first time with the seven. And then Paul passed away. And then Hannah said she didn't want to do the tour without him. So it kind of was a bit ramshackle. They were, you know, playing half-filled stadiums. And you're wondering, it's a bit depressing when you're seeing somebody backflip to a half-filled stadium.
These things can go either way. But Jean Girls Aloud is going to go the right way.
I think it will. There's just so much love behind them, and the songs are timeless, and that's why that'll succeed.
Okay, I was taken aback by the response to it this week, but you have completely explained it and reframed it for me now. Jen Gannon, thanks a million. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.